You know, the word is true. That's why we are happy, because all that God has shown us in His word, it's true.
Yes.
It's true that He became poor so that we, through His poverty, might be rich. That's truth. And we always, we endeavor here, at this church at least, to hold up what we call the standard of the word. The word as the platform by which we believe what we believe.
Yes.
We always want to find things in the word.
Yeah.
And we don't just believe things because of an experience or because of a feeling or not even, you know, we have followed some great men who've had some actual visitations from God, you know, where the Lord Jesus appeared to him and explained things to him and told him things about the times and about the word. But if we don't find, and even I'm thinking of Brother Kenneth Hagin, who we went to his Bible school. He had some amazing encounters with the Lord.
Yes.
But even in those encounters, when the Lord would bring forth some revelation to him, he said, "Lord, where does it say that in the word? Can you show it to me?" I mean, Jesus was talking to him, and he said, "Where is it in the word?" And the Lord didn't rebuke him. He showed him. He gave him several different scriptures where
Amen.
That what he was talking about was the truth. And revealed things to us.
Yes.
So we don't, when other people don't see all that we see, we don't knock them.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that what we believe is part of the Word of God. Amen? And if it is, if it's part of the Word, glory to God, then I want all the Word says we're to have. I want all that God says
yes.
is to belong to us as believers. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So with that being said, would you turn this morning to 2 Timothy? Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy. We'll start in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. This morning, I wouldn't necessarily, what I'm supposed to deliver this morning, I wouldn't necessarily call it a sermon. I don't have points and things like that. I have a few scriptures, and if we could say this, it's a family talk, okay? It's a family talk. And, you know, sometimes you talk plain with family, right?
Yeah.
Right? You just say things like they need to be said and do things like that. So, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Timothy, of course, he was a minister, and he was under or was raised up under the teachings of Paul. Paul being one of the major writers, right, of the New Testament. Everybody knows who Paul is, right? We've talked about him before. And Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's imparting some wisdom to him. He's helping him. Timothy was a young man, and yet he was pastoring. He was in the ministry, and so Paul found it necessary to write some things down to him to help him stay steady in the things that he was ministering and to help him minister to the people he was in charge of. And he says in verse 15, he says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." I'm going to read it again. He said, "Timothy, do your best." You know, in ministry, but just we could say this to us for all of our own lives, right? Let's do our best to present ourselves to God. To who?
To God.
You understand, we will all present ourselves to God at some point when we get to heaven. But even every day, God's watching what we do, and we're to be presenting ourselves to Him.
Yes.
What our conduct, everything we do is presented to Him.
Yes.
Present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. What is the word of truth?
Word of God.
The word of God. The word of God. He's talking about the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, at this point, they didn't have the New Testament put together. There were some letters that Paul had written that were going around. There were different letters that different leaders of the body of Christ had written. But they did have the Old Testament, right? So they did have some scriptures there to use and minister on. But he was saying, I need you to be careful how you handle this word. Why? Because people that sit under the words you give, they're aligning their lives according to that word.
Yeah. Yeah.
That word. And we could say that about, for all of us, even though not all of us stand in a pulpit, so to speak, all of us have people around us, whether, we have family members. We might, you know, when you get married, you've got a covenant there. That when you raise children, there's different ways that we handle ourselves and how we handle ourselves. And this word of truth that we've received, that matters for others that are around us.
Yeah.
How they see, you know, when people see you, they're supposed to see God. Whoa.
Yeah.
They're supposed to see things different about us because of how we conduct our life. And we could say this because of how we handle the word of truth.
Yes.
How we handle the word. The word of God is to align our lives and to shape our lives so that we conduct ourselves in a certain manner. And so he was telling Timothy, you've got to be careful how you handle this word. And we'll find a lot in scriptures as you read through the New Testament about Paul talking about people mishandling the word. People that are distorting or perverting the gospel, the word of God. They're taking it off, maybe just a little bit, but enough to distort people's perception.
Right.
And a lot of what was going on in the New Testament at that time was, you know, people were coming out of something we would call Judaism, right? Where they mainly followed Old Testament law. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. And they had to bring sacrifices still to the temple. There was, all this was going on. And what was happening was people were getting set free, hear about Jesus. They were receiving Jesus as the Lord. They were getting set free. And then other people were coming right behind Paul or others that were preaching the word. And they were saying things that basically took away their freedom in Christ. To where they said, no, yeah, Christ might be the Messiah, but you still have to follow the Old Testament law. You still have to do this. You still have to bring, you know, they were trying to add to the freedom that was given to them in Christ. And so people, Paul was very adamant. You got to be careful how you handle this word. You have to be careful what you do with this word. And he goes on in chapter 3. Hallelujah. In chapter 3, verse 1, we'll just start here and read a little bit of this. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Well, that's exciting, isn't it? We know we're in the last days, right? There will come times of difficulty. And he goes on to talk about what some of those difficulties are. There's going to be people that will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy,
yes,
heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. I won't get into that one. Brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Mm. And then verse 5 is interesting. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power.
Wow.
Who would have an appearance of godliness?
Church people.
There's a lot of people that go to church just because their mama taught them to go to church on Sunday. Mm. Have an appearance of godliness, but don't necessarily like the power that goes along with it.
Mm.
Hmm. That's in the list of people that are lovers of money, that are proud, that are abusive, that are disobedient parents. We've got to be careful with ourselves, don't we? And he goes on and talks some more about, you know, different ones that can creep in and corrupt the minds of unknowledgeable people. Mm-hmm. And he says in verse 10, he says, "You, however, have followed my teaching." Notice that. He came up under Paul and he followed Paul's teaching. My conduct, my aim in life. My faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Did Paul have an issue that you know, he just, you know, it's all about me. I want you to follow me and me and my things and the way I do things, and you've got to do it the way I, was he controlling?
Well.
No. Why did Paul want him to follow, want Timothy to follow Paul so close? Because Paul was one of the ones that was rightly dividing the word.
Yeah.
He was one of the ones that was delivering the truth to the people. And he said, the way you avoid getting caught up in deception, the way you avoid getting caught up on people that talk about godliness but have no power, the way you do that is you follow those whose God's connected you to. To follow the ones that God has stuck you with, if I could say this. Yeah. And that is one of the reasons. I mean, Timothy was the pastor of that church there. That is one of the reasons he's like, this is important. You follow me and your people are going to follow you. And if we're all following who we're supposed to follow and conducting ourselves and aligning ourselves in the way of the word, we'll all be safe. And we'll all accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. That's why it's so important to have a pastor. It's so important to be hooked up where you're supposed to be hooked up. It's so important the voices you listen to. Not because Paul was being selfish and saying you can't listen to anybody else, but he's wanting to keep people safe.
Amen.
You, however, follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all, the Lord rescued me, by the way, he says, to just let you know, yeah, I endured some persecutions, but from them all, the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Woohoo! Do we camp on this verse very often? No, but it is in the Word. There's going to be times where persecution comes to each of us for the Word's sake, because of what we believe. That's all right. Just like Paul, the Lord will deliver us from them all. All. Praise the Lord. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, talking about Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, yes, equipped for every good work. Wow. I love the word of God. Amen. Amen. All scripture, Paul told him, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. That's a fun word to say. Can you say it? Profitable. Profitable. It's profitable. Wait a minute. Are we back into prosperity again? Talking about profit? Yes, actually. Remember when we said all scripture is, any scripture can be a prosperity scripture? Why? Because it's all teaching us how to profit, yes, how to flow with God better, how to live in Him better, how to move in Him better. And you just can't serve God with your whole heart without the blessings of the Lord following you. It just happens. Everything that we do for God is about increase in Him. Yeah. But this is really this scripture, verse 16, is really what I had on my heart this morning. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable.
Yes.
It's profitable. Now why are we camping on this verse? I said today, this morning, it's more of a family talk, because as usual, my husband is right in line that when he was ministering on, when he was receiving the offering this morning, just talking about those who would say that things, subjects like prosperity, like healing, that they're really a distortion or a twisting of scripture. And that by preaching those types of subjects, people like my husband and I guess we'd be lumped into this crowd, they would say that we're hurting the body of Christ by not just preaching that Jesus saves you from sin. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, however, I believe this verse, which says all scripture,
amen,
is breathed out by God.
Amen.
And when we talk about all scripture, He means all scripture.
All scripture.
Now, to be fair, there are some people, some ministers, that only camp on one side of a subject. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about balance. Mm-hmm. Balance. Over 10 years ago, my husband was about to turn 30, or maybe you were about to turn 40. Must have been 40.
Over 10 years ago? Yeah, I was about to turn 30. Way over 10
years. Which 10 years
ago? Which 10 years ago? Anyway, God dealt with me years ago. Let's just say it that way. He dealt with me, you need to start exercising. Mm-hmm. And he lumped my husband into this conversation without his knowledge. Why? Because we were approaching a point in our lives where our bodies were getting older and we could not sustain the way we would eat and the way we conducted our lives without adding in exercise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's just wisdom, right?
Yes.
Just add up the calories. You can only intake so many. If you're not, if you intake 2,000 and you only get rid of 1,000 during the day, you've just added 1,000 calories to your life.
Yes.
Sorry, it's just math. But so he dealt with me. And because of the time in our lives and what we have, my kids were little and stuff like this. So because of this time, I tried to find the fastest thing I could do, the most effective thing, I should say, to do, to get it done quick and be done with it, because I don't like to exercise. So the Spirit just dealt with me to start putting that into my life. I chose to run. Jog. Really, jog. Running's not. I've seen people run. I don't do that. But anyway, so it took a while, but we got into that habit. 3 times a week, we were running. But here, as of recently, you know, before I approached the age of 50, I was out running, and my joints were talking to me, and I was talking to the Lord. And I said, how long do I have to keep this up? And he said, till you're 50. I was like 48. I said, okay, 2 more years. I can do that. Obviously, there's grace for that. I can believe God for strength in my joints and things like that. Well, when I turned 50, the month before I turned 50, COVID hit. Everything was shut down. So there was no adding something different to my routine because everything was closed, right? That's a long story to say when I turned 51, I started doing some different exercise where it was more well-rounded and focused on all body parts, not just running to get the calories ticked off and get the cardio marked in the book. And in these exercise things, they do things much slower than I would do out just running around the neighborhood. They slow things down and they make you think about what you're doing. And they talk all the time, and they help you work with balance. And, you know, I might be standing on a little bouncy ball thing with one leg and doing this, and my head is saying, you know, we could just go out and run. And we could just do that, and get the calories done and be done with it. What is balancing going to do to help my body? But then you see somebody who's a couple decades older than you, and you think, I need balance. Why? Because the further we go, the more accuracy is required to conduct our lives correctly. The more is coming at you, so to speak, the further we go. The more is coming at you to try and pull you off. And just doing things one way. You know what I hope I'm making my point clear. Just doing things one way all the time, all the time, all the time, and expecting to be well-rounded. Well, that just doesn't make sense in the natural, and it doesn't make sense in the spiritual. And so we have to be careful. As a pastor, it's so important that pastors preach all facets of the word.
Yes. That's right.
So sometimes we come in and we talk about the prosperity of God and the goodness of God and how big God is. You know, God is big, right?
Yes.
And then sometimes you come in and we talk about how we need to align ourselves with the Word of God. And we, there's things that we need to do to change and to tweak in our own lives to align ourselves with the blessing. There's different facets and different subjects that will hit from time to time because we need the whole word, all scripture.
Yeah.
We need all scripture. And so what you'll find is sometimes if you just go out to the internet, it's not always a safe place to be, wandering around on your own and listening to all different things, because people will start attacking certain voices in That's the body right. of Christ for what they say, for what they minister, for the subject they are ministering on. Brother Hagin would always teach us this. He said, the Word of God, the subjects in the Word, are very much like climbing a mountain. We know about climbing mountains here. If you go up one side of the mountain, perhaps the side that's facing the sun all the time, that side of the mountain, it might have a lot of trees. It might have some rivers and some flowing, some flowing brooks and things like that. It might be like super beautiful. There might be a clear path to walk up. You go to the other side of the mountain, it's like straight rock. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to climb. It's really hard to navigate. But it's a different view, right?
Yeah.
It's a different side of the mountain. It's the same mountain.
It's the same mountain.
It's the same mountain. Mm-hmm. And if you climb both ways, you're supposed to get to the top. And so what we find sometimes in the body of Christ is people will start to look at others, what they're saying, and they only get bits and pieces. They're not looking at the whole picture, all of the mountain. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached out of Deuteronomy 28, and it talks about our covenant with God, and that the Lord wants abundant prosperity in your life.
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
That is true.
You also find scriptures that say, you who are rich in the world, beware. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Things that say the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Do you know that scripture is true?
It's true.
As a prosperity scripture. Why? Because the moment we take our focus off of God and His goodness and put it on money, we've missed it.
That's right.
What are we saying? We need both sides of the mountain.
All sides.
We need it all. We need all scripture in our lives. We need the balance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that when we find ourselves in situations that are a little tippy, when the enemy is throwing stuff at us so fast we don't know what to do, we can stay steady.
Yes.
And we've built up muscles in us that are so strong that we can balance in the hardest of times. Mm-hmm. And even in heels, we can stand on one foot because we've practiced balance. Mm-hmm. We're not just running one way all the time and just focusing on one set of scriptures, but we're taking in the whole Word of God. We're not afraid, you understand, we're not afraid of certain passages of scripture.
Right.
Like, I don't want to talk about the ones where it talks about, you know, giving all you have to the poor, and I don't want to go into that because, you know, I'd rather camp on this scripture that says He wants me to have all things.
Yeah.
All scripture.
All scripture.
All scripture is breathed out by God.
Yes. Yes.
And is profitable for us.
Yes.
Now, does that mean, does the fact that we should have the balance of the Word, does that mean that certain ministers that only focus or primarily focus on one subject, does that mean they are wrong? Not necessarily. The Word of God tells us that we have in just the preaching, the ministers that hold the pulpit, primarily we have prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. They all have different job descriptions.
Yes.
Yeah.
The pastor is your general practitioner.
That's right.
Okay? So once a year, you're technically supposed to go to a doctor. You're supposed to go to your general practitioner. When you get older, it's probably a really good idea to do that once a year, every other year, something like that. Now, what is he going to do? He's going to talk to you about your whole body. Right?
Yes.
He's going to look you over technically from head to toe. He's going to talk to you about your diet, your exercise. He's going to talk to you about basic life skills to get your body functioning at top level.
That's right.
Now, he can't see in the 10, 15 minutes he's with you once a year, he can't see everything that's going on in your body. You might have some specific problems that you bring up to him, and he can direct, you know, it's specifically those things. And then he'll do something. He'll take blood work, right? so that he can see even more specifically what's going on. And then he might say, you need to work on your cholesterol. You need to work on this. You need to do that. And we all love to hear those things, don't we? But your pastor is doing that. They're constantly taking a gauge by the Spirit of God of what the people need to hear on any given Sunday. And sometimes it's, you got to watch your cholesterol, guys. Come on, we got to, you know, you got to live right. You got to do right. You got to watch how you got to walk in love. You got to be nice to people when you go out there. You know, sometimes it's that. And sometimes it's other things that will help us to live generally in the will of God, in the plan of God, and to grow and mature in the things of God.
That's right.
However, when certain things come up, when, oh, I don't know, say you fall over and break something in your leg or in your ankle and you have to go to a specialist, right? Somebody that only deals with that particular part of the body.
That's right.
Internal, external, whatever. I used to work for a dermatologist. He only dealt with skin. Skin. Don't come to me with a runny nose. Don't come to us with a broken arm. He's not going to fix it, right? He's going to send you somewhere else. God is so good. He put specialists in the body.
That's right.
Those ministers that hold certain offices that help us. Last week we had Brother Jim Hockaday. Oh my goodness, that man is used in the area of healing amazingly. And so he might focus in on one area, on one subject, on one way of looking at the scripture. Could we say it that way?
Yeah.
Of one view. And because he travels, he's not a pastor, he travels from place to place, and just using him because he was here last Sunday, but because different traveling ministers go from place to place, they can preach on one subject, and you know what? They get pretty good at what they do, because that's what they focus on. You know, the doctor I worked for, Dr. Aceta, he was a great guy. He, of course, you know, you do your undergrad work, and then you go in, and I don't know all the schooling, but I know it's a lot of schooling to become a doctor. But then you get your basic degree as a doctor, and then if you want to become a specialist, you got a whole nother 4 to 8 years on top of everything else you've already done
right.
to become a specialist.
Yes.
And that's what some of these men and women of God are in the body of Christ. They're specialists. We need them.
Mm-hmm.
But, says the pastor, if we pull ourselves out of a church and the pastor's voice, the general voice that helps take the blood work each week and watch and make sure we're all maintaining where we should be every day.
That's right.
And we just camp on one or two voices in a subject we like to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
For example, prosperity. Mm-hmm. If that's all we feed on, all we focus on, and all we look at, that's where some of the people in the body of Christ who are coming against these ministers or subjects, they kind of have a point. If all we do is start focusing on God wants me rich, God made me rich, right? If that's all we focus on and don't ever take a look at the rest of the Word of God, we have gotten off.
That's right.
Unbalanced. Mm-hmm. And the further I go, the more I realize balance is, it's a big deal. And it took me almost a year of doing this new exercise for me to come to the point where I actually am excited that I'm learning new skills and how better to strengthen all parts of my body. Because for the first few months, I was like, this is ridiculous. I could be getting this done so much faster. This is so slow. They're making me move slow. I don't want to be slow. But sometimes it's okay to slow down and look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Everybody doing good this morning?
Good.
All scripture is, and Paul, that's why Paul was saying, Timothy, I want you to follow me. Follow the way I preach. Follow the word I teach. Follow the way I live. Follow the way I walk. Follow the way I talk. I follow everything the way I do it. I want you to fall in line and do it that way. And I, through the years, as we've pastored, the people that I have watched that have come to our churches that have followed in line with what we teach and how we teach it and start to do the things that we do, I watch them start to fall into the blessings of God just the way we did it. And they start to increase and they start to move up and they start to go forward. And then you see others that for whatever reason, they decide, nah, that's not for me, and they leave. I know some of their stories too. They're not good. Paul wasn't being conceited, and he wasn't saying it's got to be all about me. You got to follow me because I want you to follow me so I can feel good about myself. It had nothing to do with that.
Amen.
What Paul was doing worked.
Yeah.
And he wanted other people to find success.
That's right. That's right.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You have something? Yeah. Verse 17 says that the man of God, and that's us, right? We're all men and women of God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Not just talking about preachers, but that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need the whole word in order to be equipped.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's the...
Well, I'll just add, first of all, oh my goodness, that's some rich stuff. But I just add to it, when you were talking about people leaving and not following, you know, the example. And I think what came up in me is one of the biggest reasons that happens is it doesn't look like things are moving fast enough for them. It doesn't look like, oh, this ain't nothing happening with this church. All they do is just a little gathering, a little bless me club. And when we pastored before, it was the same thing where, you know, there was actually more people, but same situations. And we'd have people say, you know, leave and say, well, you know, I need to go to a church where it's not just all about me. I'm like, what church were you just at? Because this church was not just all about me focused. And it's never been our message, never has. But things don't move fast enough. And people say, well, I'm older or whatever. I need to make immediate progress. I need to be doing something for God. And they don't understand how God does things. And the other thing I would just add to that is this, what she preached today, which I had no idea, of course she was ministering on this, but what she preached today is the reason if you watch our ministry in the Miracle Crusades, you'll say, who are they? That's not who we have on Sunday. Anybody say? This is why. This is why. That's a very focused in one direction to help people receive right now. That's what the focus of that whole thing is. And we're in it for the long haul here. We're building our lives, and everybody here, we're building our lives. God doesn't build quickly. God doesn't build quickly. So that's why we slow it down and give you things like you got today. This is gold. This is gold. This is life-changing. Thank you.
All the variety that God has for us.
That's right.
And so although we're thankful for the other parts of the body, we're not so enamored with that which we see on TV or that which we watch, you know. And I will tell you, when we're out with the, you know, Miracle Crusades, watch them, they're awesome. Yeah. But that's not the full diet for the Christian.
Right.
It just isn't. And when you come here, the reason we talk about many different things is because the Word of God talks about many different things.
Amen.
And we need it all. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Father, we're so grateful this morning for your Word, for your goodness. And we're thankful that we as a family can follow you and can move into all that you have for us.
Yes.
We're grateful, Father, for those who've gone in front of us. And we're thankful for all that you've, the men and women you've put us and joined us together with, that we can flow together and grow together as a body of believers. We're thankful for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Good to have you all. You're dismissed.